Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Well, I know you're waiting for it. I know you are. What name has she come up with today to call us? You guys are the most faithful, and I have to be very careful because we have an amazing podcast host on the show today. When I start saying that you guys are the best audience ever, but honestly, you guys share and subscribe, and I check my analytics, and you're rocking it. And so, stupendous. You are stupendous today. You are stupendous today. And here you have come to hear who's taken on the mission. Well, I hope that you are. I hope that you're getting inspired and motivated. And if you haven't started to take on the mission, you don't have to be a crazy entrepreneur or an entrepreneur or, you know, the best sculptor in the world. You just need to find out what your mission is and somehow find your way to it. And so listening to these incredible stories of people that have found that in their craft and in their life, we hope that sparks the engine inside that makes you say yes to something that you may go, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. So if someone's pushing you to go a little forward, go a little forward. You know what? You can always step back if you want to. Okay. Thanks for joining us today. Everyone's always like, I'm so excited, but I am. I mean, not only if you guys are listening, you don't get to see Mary's gorgeous purple hair. This woman is the best of business and creativity. We had the blessing, you know, there were some blessings in this last little while of being online a lot and being on Zoom a lot. And I met this incredible woman through an organization called Leap, which we both apparently have done in many different ways. This woman has a plethora. She's got an incredible background. We were just talking pre-show, and I'm so excited to have found out something very interesting about her because that is a topic that's very live in my life today. So I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to bring Mary Scott into the show. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mary.
So nice to be here, Deb. This is going to be fun.
This is going to be fun. How can it not be fun? I'm looking at you. I'm like, I need to color my hair. I need to pick something. I've always been talking to my hairdresser about pink. I did orange once, but apparently orange on blonde hair or on put things on blonde hair, it falls out very quickly. So I was like, well that was a three-day
thrill. You know what's fun is that they make these spray in colors, and they might even be on sale because it's after Halloween, and they'll wash out in one shampoo. So you can play and see how it goes.
That sounds great. So let's see, I'll do some podcasts with some different hair colors and people can send in their reports. Nice comments only, guys. Okay. So look, Mary does many different things. She's also a podcast host. She's magical. She's magical with new entrepreneurs and new business owners getting on the right foot. But we were just having a great conversation about some of the guests that we've had that have fallen in the creative category. And she told me something I'd love to kind of spark off with, because how do you get into this? And guys, she did documentaries. No. Hang on. Wait for it. They made money. They made money. You don't usually hear those two things in the same sentence. So yeah. Mary, tell us about this.
Well, it's me and Ken Burns. I have a way of thinking about stuff that to me is obvious, but to other people is, whoa, that's magical. So I'm happy to share a little bit. The first film I did was on the chief of the Cherokee Nation, Wilma Mankiller. I was trying to do a series on women world leaders. My interest was in how mom skills work into dealing with legislators and boards of directors and things like that. So anyway, we did this film and it was short. It was like half an hour, but there was an organization called Women Make Movies. And instead of just submitting it, I wrote a letter and said, look, I have this rough cut and I would appreciate some advice. And they said, okay, sure, send it to us. And they watched it and they sent me back a letter with what was good about it, what was not so good, what they would suggest. And so I recut the film doing absolutely everything they asked for. So when I submitted it for distribution, they couldn't turn me down because I had given them everything they asked for. And I made money on that film because it only cost a few thousand dollars to make. And then I got it into libraries and universities and on TV stations and all over. And you know, the distributor took care of all the marketing for me and everything. And yeah, it was good.
Okay, so let's just stop there and unpack that. I call that unpacking that. So I think Mary really accentuated, and if you were listening, right, then you would hear she did everything they were asking for. So this was something that, you know, you wanted to be accepted at, or not accepted at from a, but mm-hmm. you wanted to have this be successful. And so you asked an expert, they told you what to do and you did it. I mean, I think, isn't that like follow the lead of someone who's being successful? I think that's an important piece. And honestly, as a creative, that's tough. It's tough sometimes to have your book. I remember the first time I had my words edited, I thought I died inside. I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? It doesn't sound like me. And I'm just about to embark on that experience again. And so I think that it's tough as a creative. It's tough to get feedback.
Well, it is to some extent. I mean, the thing is that when you've got a kid in school and the teacher tells you something about your kid, you don't deny it. You go, oh, I didn't realize. And then you move differently after that. Life is a team sport. And being able to appreciate that other people know better than you is a great way to stop you from not getting your message out there.
Yeah.
We're not always the best communicators in the language of the people we're trying to reach. So sometimes that's part of it, is being able to find someone who speaks the language of your potential audience and having them help you actually craft something that will make a bigger impact. So that's where that goes.
Yeah, no. And look, I know what you do. And isn't that it? When I hear you say those words, first of all, life is a team sport, please. You know, that's a book cover. You're talking to someone who puts out too many books. That's a book cover. That's straight. I know right now I can hear those in the show notes. So the thing that I heard as a kind of a businesswoman, I heard avatar. I heard avatar and verbiage, you know, avatar, like finding who it is that is your people and then knowing how to speak to them. Yeah. What was the second production that you did?
The second production was a film about women airplane pilots. And I had found out that I was talking to a pilot I had interviewed for a not-for-profit months previously. And I met her at some networking event. And she was talking about going off on an air race. And I thought, whoa, that sounds very cool. Tell me about it. She told me a little bit about the Air Race Classic, which had its genesis as the Powder Puff Derby in like 1929. And I'm getting all excited. This sounds just so cool. And discovered that in 1929, the percentage of pilots who were female was 6%. And in 2003, the percentage of pilots who were female was 6%. There's something wrong with this picture. And I asked, you know, has anybody ever done a documentary about women pilots or something? It sounds so fascinating. And she says, not that I know of. And I said, I wonder why. And she said, I guess nobody cares. Now, the last time that particular phrase crossed my path, I ended up running for office and winning. So I'm going, okay, I am aware here. I am paying attention. And how about if I give you a camera and you can take it with you in the cockpit and I will meet you at Kitty Hawk at the end of the race in 6 weeks? And she said, done. And we were off and running. This was like May or June of 2003. I met her at Kitty Hawk at the end of the Air Race Classic. And we interviewed like 84 women pilots that weekend. 2 weeks later, we were in Huntsville, Alabama at Space Camp for the convention of the 99s that year. And we interviewed another 80-something pilots. And by December 17th, 2003 was the 100th anniversary of flight. And we premiered this film at the Cradle of Aviation Museum in New York.
Wow, that is a story to be told. That is a story to be told. Oh my gosh. Are we able to watch that film now? Or
I have it in a special place so that people can contact me, and for a small fee, they can watch it streaming. It's not on a streaming service at this point. Or if you're old school, I have DVDs for sale.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. Oh, we were just talking about DVDs yesterday.
You know what? The name of the film is Wings of Their Own. And you can probably find the DVD in your local library.
Right, right.
Because this film also made money. I got distribution in libraries and air museums across the country.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic. That's, you know, I just want to say that's so sexy. Like, that's so, like, robust. You know what I love? If I was to unpack all of it, it was like, I guess nobody cares. Then the next thing you hear is done, you know, here's your camera. And she's like, done. And then look at the timeline. You know what? I want people to hear from that is that big things can happen in small, you know, in small segments, but it can also happen in, like, I was talking about this yesterday. I was coaching somebody and they're on their last day of having people sign up for their retreat. And I'm like, let me tell you what happened for me in 12 hours. Let me tell you what happened to me in 12 hours when I made a decision. Well, someone encouraged the decision, made the decision. We locked arms and for 12 hours, we rocked our world. Right. And it changed everything in my business. It was obviously a sales number that we needed to achieve. And there was many loopholes, but when you look at when someone's fueled, there's a good, you know, it ties in, but I didn't mean to do that. But when someone's fueled or you're fueled, look at how fast things can go and doors can open and doors can open and doors can open and doors can open. And sometimes we don't even know the result of what it's going to be. You just know that you got to do it.
Right.
You just know you got to do it.
Yeah. And the thing with documentaries is you kind of go asking people basic stuff and then you listen to the answers and take it further. So you don't know what the story is going to be until it kind of reveals itself to you.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to get JetBlue to give us free tickets and my senator's office to hook me up with the Navy to get some stock footage and actually getting other people to introduce me to famous flyers who were still alive at the time. I got 12 interviews with members of the WASP, and most of them are not here anymore. But I made sure that all my raw footage went to Texas Woman's University, where they have the archive of women in aviation, and other people can use the footage too. So yeah, it's been great fun doing that stuff and just being able to inspire women to fly. You know, I can get on an airplane now The funny thing is that the radar antenna in most Boeing airplanes was actually designed by my daughter.
What?
And
how the,
yeah,
okay, okay.
Yeah, and I made this film about women pilots. And so, yeah, it's great fun to fly these days.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's brewing in my, no, you know, okay. We have to have you speak for sure.
No, she's been an inspiration to me in a lot of ways. And it was unexpected because one of the things that happened when she was like 12 and I'm in the kitchen doing whatever I'm doing and she's on the phone and I hear her say, well, Michelle, you can either live with it or you can die with it or you can fix it. And I'm going, oh my God, something can, Oh, if that's the influence I'm having, I am often going, I'm going to go do all kinds of other things now, because, you know, it's a feedback loop of don't just complain, do something about it.
Oh, man, man, that's incredible. That's incredible. 12 years old. Well, yeah. You know, hats yeah. off, right? Hats off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's amazing. She's just amazing. And yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So look, let's get a little bit into, so film documentary, which needs all sorts of gumption. That's the whole premise behind this big women's event we're doing is gumption. It's if you, one word, it's gumption. So clearly you have defined the word gumption, but Mary, take us up to now, because I know that you're not doing a documentary as we speak. Who knows? Who knows what she's going to do next week, guys. But so how did you decide to become an entrepreneur? Like, and what is it you're doing right now?
It sort of came to me. I started a video production company in New York, and I was doing business to business videos for companies before we were online. I was doing promotional stuff for people and stuff for television. Right. So we had to make it good enough for television. And, my husband was a cameraman for the CW in New York. So he did a lot of shooting for me. Although when the cameras got smaller, I did a lot of my own shooting. But you know, that was a decent business. And I always felt with customers, with clients, that I wasn't just being hired to do video. I was being hired as part of their marketing team. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just making the videos. It was also thinking about how they're going to use it and who else I can introduce them to and what else they can do to help promote their business. So I've been doing that kind of business advice forever. And then when COVID hit and people didn't need the live videos so much anymore, I figured, okay, let me take some of the information and the resource wrangling that I've become so expert at and turn it into a consulting business. So I love working with startup businesses. Anybody who's new, anybody who's got an idea or a product or an invention they think is going to save the world, I am there for you. I want startups to be wildly successful. And most people who have a business idea, as you know, they have this idea, they know how to do something. They don't necessarily know business.
Right.
So that's where I come in with the nitty-gritty stuff that you don't have to go to business school, but I can give you real world advice and exactly which resources are going to be good for your particular business.
I love that. The fire, right? The fire of new entrepreneurs or when we get refueled, right? When we get refueled. And that's the part about staying in the mission. And, you know, even just listening to what you just shared there about taking what you had become an expert at, sometimes we don't even know in the next 5 years what we're going to be an expert at. We don't know that as of tomorrow, a door is going to open and we are going to be in a sector. Or like, I can tell you, you know, when I went to school, it's so funny we talk about flight because, and why I particularly picked up. So I'm not dating myself, but okay. You know, when I was in high school, they were like, so what do you want to do? Do you want to be a nurse? Do you want to be a secretary? Do you want to be a teacher or a stewardess? Literally, that's what I had presented to me. They were like, so, and I'm like, stewardess. Now I was like, it was a 2-second decision. I was like, woo. I mean, I should have known then I had a love for freedom. I should have known then that I wanted to, you know, unclip my wings. Just the other three, no offense to them. I mean, my daughter's an amazing child educator, but I don't, didn't ring my bell. But who knew, oh, you know, not too many years away, you know, you're going to have a sales distribution company, or not too many years away, you're going to be on air, at, you know, or producing books. Like, we don't know. Sure. We don't know where it leads to. But, you know, honestly, having someone who's an expert in business in general, I think is so incredibly important, because you don't necessarily always have to know exactly everything about your sector, as much as you need to know exactly, be more clear on your mission and your vision of what you want to do in that sector.
Know your mission and have an idea of who to call when you don't know something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's always been the big thing, is that if I can't do it, I need to find someone who can. And I have little tolerance for frustration. So if I can't figure something out in like 15 minutes, I will get on the phone and call the expert.
Oh, I'm so you.
And I'm if so some, you. I am so there. I mean, you know, like in the words of Dolly from Dolly, Hello Dolly, money, pardon the expression, is like manure. It doesn't do anybody a bit of good unless it's spread around helping young things to grow.
All right.
So you don't have the skill set, hire out.
Yeah.
It makes everything work better.
So much. And I think more than ever, because there's so many, you know, there's variables to businesses, particularly because they're still kind of offline, or they could be all online, or they're an online business that needs to look at relationship building, which they've never had to do before, you know, different kinds of trust, different kinds of level, even the same company, having to market in two different kinds of way, two different types of verbiage, expanding. And, you know, ever more so, we are international beings. Like someone was just asking me, oh, so what's the, you know, what's the listenership of your podcast, right? And it's interesting. It's very interesting. The countries that get listed that you just wouldn't necessarily even think 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that you needed your business to be versed in other countries and that international piece. So there's just too many variables, I think, Mary, to not be what you say is to be able to pick up the phone and have a couple of experts, you know, make this experience so much better. So how long have you been doing this? Freedom living. Like how long have you been having the joys of an entrepreneurship?
I've been an entrepreneur for over 30 years at this point. And running my own business gives me all kinds of flexibility. You don't always make the kind of money that you would if you had a steady job with benefits. But I was so thrilled to be able to have these adventures. And to just, I did a cross-country trip and the whole thing was deductible because I was shooting back little video casts for PBS Interactive. Those kinds of things were, okay, this is cool. I'll do this.
Yeah.
You know, it's about enjoying all the experiences. And then you pull things in. Like you said, you don't know what you're going to be doing later on because you don't know what you're going to be learning today. And if somebody had told me, even in my 40s, that I was going to be the go-to techie person, I would have looked at them funny.
Oh, man, the skills we pick up along the way.
Yeah, you know, computer hacking. I mean, at this point, I can crash any computer. I can crash a PC. I can crash a Mac. I can crash an Amiga.
Oh, man.
And I found out that, you know what you call it when you crash a Mac?
No.
You get macarooned.
Oh. Okay, I'm sure in some circles that's a lot more funnier than the person on the other end that's got macarooned. But that's an easier way to put it. Oh, my gosh. Oh, the tech, right? The world of tech. There's a great example of having to learn some and farming out the other. That was my whole thing in being an entrepreneur is that I recognized I don't have every hat and I don't necessarily want every hat, but I'd like to know enough about that sector. I'd like to know enough about social media. I'd like to know enough about, you know, new ways of receiving, doing payment structure. I like to know enough that I make sure that I'm making the right decision or handing that job over to the person that wants it or making sure that we like, all of the details, I may not want to do it every day, but I think one of the things that I did learn is knowing or doing something enough that I knew it needed to be taken over by someone else, but at least so I could make the right decision.
It's about knowing enough to know what questions to ask.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem when something is really brand new is a lot of times you don't even know what questions to ask.
Exactly.
But why is always a good one.
That's true. There's many times people said, so, you know, what would you like to know? And I'm like, what don't I know? Tell me what don't I know? And tell me what people call in for that are A, frustrated, B, having a challenge. Like, tell me the stuff. Tell me the stuff that isn't on your brochure. That's what I'll tell some people sometimes. Tell me the stuff.
Yeah, that's so good and true. I mean, when the last time I went to buy a car, I asked my mechanic, tell me some cars you never see.
All right. All right.
Tell me cars that hardly ever come in for service. And he told me, so I got one of those.
No, right? I mean, this is people, you're getting some very incredible, what I call crone advice. This is seasoned advice. Look, we've both done over 30 in this world of entrepreneurship. There's something to be said for that. There's something to be said for that, right? So there's a lot of things to be said for that, but one of it is crone advice. Okay. Yeah. I want to ask a completely, let's just shift this question. And then I want you to kind of tell, we're going to shift this question for a little bit. Then I want to go back and I'm going to ask you something about new people in business and some of the steps they need to take. But bucket list. I mean, you're the kind of person I'd love to ask, what's on your bucket list, whether it's your business bucket list or your personal bucket list? Because look, you've lived a pretty frigging cool life. I hope that you're right. Thinking about doing a book one day about it. So what's on your, what would you like to check off, girl?
I would like to find Prince Charming number 3.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
I would like to visit some of the winter solstice monuments, not just Stonehenge, but other places around the world.
All right.
I would like to do a TED talk.
Yes, you could. Wow. Okay. That's very cool.
I would like to actually write my own book. I've been a co-author before, but I think I'd like to do one of my own at some point. So it's really a question of putting it in the calendar. If you don't schedule it, it doesn't happen.
Right. Well, I also like to put it out. So talking about flight, it's interesting. The one reason why I ask people this, so I'm going to say this before I forget. I just came back from a 3-day workshop with Cheryl Strayed. And she had, I thought it was going to be a, you know, if you don't know Cheryl Strayed, she wrote the book Wild, which Reese Witherspoon did the movie. And at 26, she did this big 3-month trek. It's an incredible book and it's an incredible movie. And I did this workshop with her and I thought, oh, I'm going to go. It was in New York. It was up in Rhinebeck, you know, train, plane, and automobile just to get there. That's a different, that could be a whole book itself. But anyways, we get there and I thought, oh, there's going to be 30, maybe 35 people. I walked into a room of 400 to 500 and she had 700 more on Zoom and she nailed it. For 3 days, she nailed it. The beautiful thing is that there was people in there that just love words on paper. There's people there that just love to journal. They love poetry. They love it from an external, but then also a lot of internal. And it what really sparked, because I'm looking at doing, I've done like you, a lot of collaborative, but there's a book to be written about this trek across Ireland that's coming up. And I knew 8 years ago before the trek came into my life that someone gave me this book on Cheryl Strayed, which was a completely different book. I didn't even know she did Wild. And I knew I needed to meet her for whatever spiritual message that I got reading that quote book. Now, I'm saying that to you to share with people the experience, because I don't think you're the only one that's ever wanted to write a book. And my publisher tells me that 87% of people want to, and only 2% of people do. And she's a great contact for you. I'll connect you.
When are you going to Ireland?
Oh, so myself and my girlfriend, we're walking 8.5 marathons in 8 days from Dublin to the Cliffs of Moher to raise money for people that are in the music industry. And when I say people in the music industry, Alicia Keys' organization of She Is the Music, supporting women in globally in music, Unison in Canada, for anyone, doesn't matter age, doesn't matter. There's you know no defining definition other than you play in the world of music, whether you're a manager, or you own a record store, you're a singer, or you're a songwriter. And they will supply counseling and therapy and mental health and support and finance. And then Ireland with the children, you know, children that need music programs and instruments and all that kind of stuff. It's been going on 1.5 years and it's going to be happening in August. And don't ask me if I'm ready to do 8 marathons yet, because I'm not, but I will be. So that's Ireland. So my point to that whole story is that it was an excellent resource, and the way she gave these prompting questions for you to write. I think I would say, honestly, probably 80% of people walked out of that weekend workshop coming in maybe as journal writers and walking out knowing they had a story to tell. So I'm going to encourage you. And also, you know, if you check out her newsletter and her writing, it's incredible. So not to pitch Cheryl, because she's not on the show, but I just want to say that we all tend to have it in us, but sometimes we just need to be prompted. So that's my word for you today, my friend, is prompted. Okay, let's get back to, because we have a lot of people that, look, they've been entrepreneurs and they have an opportunity to pivot into a different sector of entrepreneurship. That's a tough one for entrepreneurs, or they want to add a new division, or there's a newness, or you're absolutely brand new. So what are some of the, I call like top performance tips, meaning like, what is something that you can save someone either pain, money, or time? Like when someone wants to get things going or go in a new direction, what, you know, how can you help us out here, Mary?
Well, there are three kinds of entrepreneurs. There are people that come up with an idea and just start born entrepreneurs and they're going to go start a business. Then there are the reluctant entrepreneurs. They got downsized. They were happy in whatever business they were doing. And then all of a sudden they're on their own with a certain skill set. And then there are the entrepreneurs that kind of didn't know it was going to be there. They started with a hobby and it was fun. And before they knew it, they were making money and had to kind of deal with it. So there are probably the biggest thing that people need, and one of the hardest things, is that you don't do this alone. Just because you're taking point doesn't mean you do everything, because every entrepreneur needs the marketing person, the accountant, and the lawyer. Okay. The marketing person helps you make money. The accountant helps you keep most of it. And the lawyer helps you not lose it.
Love it.
You have to have at least those three people. And frequently, it's really good if they're co-founders, if there's two people doing it. So there's the one person who actually does the work, and then there's the song and dance person who pushes it out there and gives people a chance to see it from a different perspective.
All right.
So you've got Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So those are the, you know, top fabulous examples. But every really successful entrepreneur has a team, and it doesn't have to be paid employees to start with. It can just be, you know, good supporters or people you pay on a project basis, but you gotta have that team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably the biggest mistake that people make is that they don't validate their idea. Just because you thought of it doesn't mean nobody else has. Doesn't mean it's actually going to work.
Right.
Doesn't mean somebody doesn't have something similar that maybe you can get together and improve on. And one of the biggest things people need to do is put the idea in front of potential customers and ask them two questions. Is this a good idea? Does this solve a problem you have? Mm-hmm. And how much would you be willing to pay for it?
Oh, those two questions, that is powerful market research. You know, when people say go market research and they do data and they hire somebody and, you know, you can get all sorts of people to do market research for you from an external standpoint, like what does the industry already have? What's the numbers? But honestly, even when I'm telling people to go do an avatar questionnaire and they're like, how many people do I need to ask them? Like at least 20. They're like, really? I'm like, don't you want to know? Like, go ask 20 people. Like, you're going to go ask 2,000 to buy it at some point. What a great two question.
Yeah. And you know what? You can start with five. Ask five people, see what kind of responses you get. And then you'll decide whether it's worth it to ask another five or another five, and, you know, baby steps. That kind of stuff can be very, very powerful and very, very useful.
Very useful. Good life. All right, my friend. Look, tell us the name of your company. Where can people reach you? We know we're all going to go watch a movie on flight now, but where can people reach you? Because you're that great, like I said, entry step or re-entry step. I've listened to you enough and I've seen you and I've been on your show. The one thing I love when I think the word prompt came to me is because you're fantastic and getting people to almost prompt themselves, like ask those questions. And that's the kind of stuff that makes people successful quicker and faster, because we all think it's going to be quick and we all think it's going to be fast. And we all know that this is, you know, it can be a slow burn at sometimes. But if you can move the needle, why not?
Well, exactly. I mean, most of the time it's good, fast, cheap. Pick two.
See, I told
but
you.
But every so often you can get the trifecta. You just have to be really patient and aware and, you know, keep your mind open for when those opportunities show up. My company is called Business Riff because I like to take problems and riff on them. I love using improv. And so it's businessriff.com. And I am happy to give 15 minutes free to anybody who books a call.
Wow.
You can do right on the homepage. It's businessriff.com and just scroll down to the synergy call and, you know. So that's the sort of thing. I really want startups to be wildly successful. But if there's anything else that we talked about today or something else you would like to ask me, I'm happy to share.
Have that dialogue. Okay, so the last question I'm going to ask you again is completely off topic. I want to thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing and inspiring. Okay, girl, you are heading on your way to a private island, you and you, and you've got a suitcase. I know that you got, you know, that lover number three. You're like, hey, I'm just going to go take a little bit of a trip here. And you got that suitcase and you have room for one album. Which album could you not imagine not listening to for the rest of your days? What are you taking with you?
Probably like Heart's Greatest Hits.
Oh, girl, that's Canada. That's Canada. Woohoo! Oh my gosh, they went to high school just up the street from my high school. Man.
No, I love them. And the fact that they're all girls and they're modeling Led Zeppelin, we're going, wait,
oh my gosh, I'm sure you know a lot of people that I talked to lately. This big event for music, and do you remember Darby Mills from Headpins? Anyways, so that's a good answer. Okay, folks, you heard where to contact Mary. Super excited. What a great creative interview. I knew it would be. Well, if you're not watching and you're listening, Mary is there with this gorgeous, you know, burgundy red pink blazer to offset the purple hair. So I knew I was in for a good story. I knew I was in for a good story. Thank you so much for being the most incredible audience. Again, we just so appreciate, because look, it's not just us. It's not just, you know, it's just not just us sitting here talking, chatting. And we want you to share the word, because this is an important piece for not just entrepreneurs, but inspiration and hope. You're sitting there and you're watching your YouTubes and you're this and you're that and what have you. This is good stuff. And this is what people need to share internationally, the message of, like, you know, do it, and gumption and inspiration. Look at everything you've got from today's show. So I know you share. I know you do, because I get my analytics and I love you. And look, if you want to sit where Mary's sitting and you've got something that you want to share wherever you're at in your business, I'm not difficult to find. You know, it's deb@debdrummond.com. And look forward to, I have two major projects we got going on. I know that our show was very popular in UK, particularly Ireland, because I am showing up. I do talk kindly of your country because I love it. And we'll be there raising. And we just opened up the crowdfunding page, people. So look, we can inspire people in this industry that has been hit not only so hard, but by nature, 85% of musicians can't pay their rent. That's before the pandemic. That's not, you know, that's, like, you can imagine, when's the last time you bought an album? Just think about that. And we use music so freely for inspiration. So please go to They Did It Tour crowdfunding page and just love on them. You know, right now this show is being shown, and we know it's going to be shown for the full next year, but it's shown getting close to a season where a lot of people gift a lot of things. And so that would be cool. If you want to gift a walking a mile in someone's name, if you want to do anything creative like that, we've got all sorts of stuff for you to be able to give and gift to people. So we so appreciate you even considering. But if you go there, even if you're not in a place to donate, please go and watch the video. We did an incredible video of 10 different people sharing what music means to them. And honestly, it's going to make you tingle inside. So even just go watch the video. We'd be appreciative. Thank you for being a great audience. And Mary, thank you for taking time out today. And thank you for sharing who you are. We will see you guys again next week. Be groovy and talk soon. Bye for now.